Hey! How are you, gents?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You're listening to episode 110 of Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and my good friend Morgan Richards, a.k.a. Mo Dick.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and we're starting the year off cruising through the back roads to find everybody's hope list.
Happy New Year, everyone. Hey! 2021. I can't believe it's got to be better than last year. Let's hope to God it's got to be better than last year, because surely any other year that's ever existed was nearly better than last year. It was a couple of rounds, probably 1939, 1940 was probably pretty bad. 1920 was bad with the Spanish flu, but Jesus Christ, 2020, it's really brought the cream to the top, I think. It's really shown us who can think for themselves and then who's an idiot. But yes, Happy New Year, 2021, January 1st. I'm sorry if you're hungover and my voice is annoying you. But luckily for us, our guest this week is the lovely Mark Trotter from the great Lonely the Brave.
Yes, and I absolutely love him. Mark is such a sweetheart. But since their debut record, The Day's War, in 2014, Lonely the Brave have been one of those key alternative rock bands on the UK and Europe touring scene. The last few years, they've had to go through some changes behind the scenes, being pretty quiet on all fronts. But despite all that, LTB are back. They have a third studio record, The Hope List. It's been released now worldwide on January the 22nd. And they are honestly one of our most anticipated bands for 2021. So we thought we'd invite our good friend Mark to come on the podcast, tell us all about their return, the change in vocalist with Jack Bennett from Grumblebee now mixed into the fold, and just some incredible stories from the last few years touring the world. We talk about playing some toilet venues, some things you'd never imagine bands have to go through, and some lovely, lovely stories in between.
Yes, thanks again to Mark and Lonely the Brave. Well, everybody in Lonely the Brave, thank you very much for letting us speak to Mark. Sorry for any of the content you're about to listen to, but it was great. We had a good time. And Mark is a lovely, lovely chap. And my friend Ross is in the band as well, which is crazy. Yeah. Ross was formerly in a band called Second Smile, which some people would probably not have heard of, who are a fantastic band. So check them out as well. But again, thank you very much to Mark. It was a very, very good chat. And it's a good start to the year. It's a good start.
Definitely. It's really honest as well, because, you know, as he's going to talk about, there's so many changes the band have had to go through over the last year. A couple of things people and fans might not be aware of. So he's going to open up about it all and tell some hilarious stories in between. One includes a certain member from Deftones, and another one includes, well, I don't want to spoil it really. You just have to listen. But a quick mention to all our vinyl lovers out there, The band's previous label, Hassle Records, just recently re-released The Day's War for their special 15x15 series, celebrating a decade and a half of the label. So check out their website for that. And we even did an episode with Hassle Records, so check out our back catalogue for a listen as well. But speaking of the celebrations and good times, Sean, you've said yes. 2020 is over. Happy Thank New God. Year. It's 2021. It's been a strange 12 months. Podcast-wise, though, I've enjoyed this. We've had some corkers. We've done a lot of bucket list things.
We've knocked this out of the fucking park this year. Fair play. I thought it's all going to go to... Hey! Positive Sean was thinking, this is going to go fucking tits up straight away with this lockdown stuff. But luckily, we did what all great businesses do, and we pivoted. Oh, it's used business terms. Oh, we pivoted. It's not just live. They'll do it across fucking Zoom and still have a laugh, mate. So yeah, that was probably the only good thing to come out of 2020 was our chance to try out new ways of chatting to people. And it's been very successful. I think due to it, we've probably got some people that we might not have got in the flesh, maybe.
Yeah, definitely. And it's opened up a lot of doors and possibilities and things to come for the rest of the year. I'm really looking forward to it. Now, we've already got some mad surprises in the bags for the next coming weeks that Correct. I'm very excited to share with everyone. But I was going to ask you, Sean. Do you, A, have any New Year's resolutions for yourself? Any little things you're looking to do more this year? And B, what plans would you like to see us do on the podcast for 2021?
Oh, that's good. I'd like more guests from different places, like different worlds.
Ooh, no, okay.
Well, yeah, definitely have an alien on. Definitely get an alien on straight away. 2021, I want an alien interviewed on Sapling Podcast. I want to see a UFO, which you can go on YouTube and do that pretty much.
Yeah, that's true,
I'd like to speak to people from all walks of life. Do you know what? I'm going to put it out there now in the style of the book The Secret, which is a load of nonsense. But anyway, I'm going to put it out there now. This year, we are going to get Daryl Palumbo from Glassjaw Head Automatica on the podcast.
Right.
And we're going to get my newly named friend. Oh, I didn't think of this years ago when we toured together. But we are going to get the one and only Fred Durst. We are going to get Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit on this year's podcast, whether he likes it or fucking not. If I have to go to his house with my phone and just turn the sound recorder on and shout at his gates till he tells me to leave, that's what's going to happen. But it's going to happen this year. And other resolutions is to find everybody that voted for Brexit and murder them.
Oh, that's going to take a while.
Well, it doesn't matter. I've got it now. I've got the time because we're all about to lose jobs and lose loads of money because of Brexit. So I'm going to have the time. And I'm going to drink their Brexit tears.
Wow. I was hoping this would stay positive, but it's taken a very weird turn already. However, that trip to Fred Durst's house doesn't sound too bad.
Yes. What about you? What would you like for 2021 in regards to the podcast?
Well, there's a few things, but just keeping it to grow, connecting with more people and having some more fantastic stories. I mean, I like the mixture we have of bands that we're very excited about in terms of that they're new, fresh, they have new music coming out, but also, giving a nod to some of the classic acts over the years from different scenes and just hearing wild experiences and what everyone's gone through in the strange world that is the music industry and more, as you said. Like, I'd like a couple of different industry people on, for people from all things, actors, drag queens. I'm busting for a drag queen to come on.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be, I think it'll be a good year now. Fingers crossed. Oh, I fucking cursed. Oh. I know I've cursed it now, for fuck's sake.
But tell you what, right? Why don't the listeners send us a list of people they would love to hear on the podcast in 2021?
Oh,
or just wish us Happy New Year on our social media pages at Sapnin Pod on the Twitter and Instagram.
Yes, that's at SAPPENINPOD. That's SAPPENINPOD. Get in touch with us at Twitter and Instagram. Please give us a list of your, I'd like top five guests. They could be anyone, literally anyone. Preferably tag their social media accounts,
yes,
so they
please.
Can see. Because you just writing Keanu Reeves isn't going to make Keanu Reeves just guess that he should come on our podcast. So, and I don't know why I've chosen Keanu Reeves,
oh.
But let's get fucking Keanu Reeves on the podcast.
That would
be a laugh.
Insane. I'd love that. I'd absolutely love that, yeah. If you love us as well, we would really appreciate it if you could go and check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin, where you can get involved with our wonderful community and give a little bit back to this podcast to make it grow and bigger and better each and every single week.
Yes, look, as you can see now, as you can see, Morg, they can't see.
Yeah. I've got my glasses on too.
Oh, nice. I've got a ring light now. So a lot of people don't understand this, but how many times my phone has fallen flat on its face, right, and I've nearly given up doing the podcast is fucking next level. So here I am with a Christmas present I had. So, and we're also lucky enough that the people who are currently members of the Patreon, they did a lovely little kind of whip round for us, and they got us presents as well. So thank you very, very much to all those guys. It means the absolute world. Honest, we don't want anything more than the support of the Patreon. Like, you guys are awesome and I fucking love it, and I owe you more than I could ever give back. So thank you very much to everybody who's got involved over Christmas, got us gifts, got each other gifts, and we've just made a fucking excellent community. And not only is it an excellent community, if you go to patreon.com/sapnin, there's extra content, playlists, videos, other interviews we've done. So yeah, check it out, patreon.com/sapnin.
Yes, it's absolutely wholesome, lovely, and everyone in there is just some of my favourite human beings. As Sean said, the support means the world. It keeps this going. And what they did for us over Christmas was just so heartfelt. I was blown away. They got us some really nice gifts. And over this new lockdown period, they've all been getting together and having a little community Zoom nights watching films, little movie nights. So if you're...
Via Zoom they've been doing it. You just say get together, which makes it sound like our Patreons might be doing things illegally.
No, that's not what I meant.
They have been doing it from the comfort of their own homes.
Yes, on the screen, on the computer, watching films together. So if you need a new film buddy, we've got the perfect ones for you, patreon.com/sapnin.
You and the guys watched Mean Girls the other day, I believe.
Oh, yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Nice.
It was brilliant.
Cool. Well, yep, the next one with our running theme is Mean Girls. Dead Man's Shoes will be next then. I think that'll be
nice.
Sean watches. Morgan watches Mean Girls with the gang. The next one will be Sean watches Dead Man's Shoes with the gang. So that'll be happy. but no, check out patreon.com/sapnin and get involved. If you've listened to more than three episodes, you are now in mine and Morgan's pocket and you owe us. So sort it out, for God's sake.
Please do.
Anyway, should we get on with this shit?
Yes, this is the wonderful Mark Trotter from Lonely the Brave. Check this out. The new music is outstanding and you're going to hear some fantastic stories from their career.
Yes, tidy. Sapnin!
Sapnin!
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Sapnin!
Yes!
Yes! This week's guest is the ever lovely Mark Trotter from the very, very fantastic Lonely the Brave. Yes. How are you?
I am very well. How are you, sir?
Yes, I'm all right. Yeah. Stuck indoors, locked down.
Again.
Yeah, but not like as a country, as separate areas in Wales. So we can't even like literally pop over the border to see anyone who's 2 miles away.
Yeah, we've got different roles where we both are, so that's fun.
What?
Yeah.
Oh man, I can't keep up. I can't keep up with it. I've given up.
Nice. But
anyway, how are you, man? How's things? How are you keeping lately with everything?
Do you know what? Probably the same as about everyone else. It's interesting, I think, is the word I'd go for. What can you do? We're all in the same boat. Everyone's just trying to do the best they can with this, I guess. It's been an interesting time for a lot of other reasons. I guess we might come to those bits in a while. But no, it's been really tough. But I don't know, kind of interesting as well, I guess. That's probably the right word to describe it, but different.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, as you said, I mean, right now it's such an exciting time for Lonely the Brave. Back after a little bit of silence, a little bit of time away working on stuff, finally with new music, a new album coming out in January 2021. I'm sure you must be ecstatic for things finally being able to come out again and having the band as a creative outlet.
Oh man, it's been the most mad time. Yeah, 100%. With tracks coming out, every single time another track comes out, it just feels like another weight is lifted. We're desperate for everyone to hear what we've been up to, desperate to get the record out. You know, things have got to be done in the right order. I get that, you know, but I guess you guys know yourself. You just want it. You want to get on, you know, and in usual times that would have happened. But, you know, this isn't usual times. So we've got to play the game, I guess, like everyone else, and you know, just bide our time. We want to go play shows. That's what we're desperate to do. You know, playing live is everything for most people who play music. And not having the opportunity to do that at the moment is just crushing. But other than that, it's all good. Just excited to be putting new stuff out there and just excited to see what people make of it, really.
Well, funnily enough, I was listening to a playlist a couple of days ago and Bound came on.
Oh yeah,
and I was like, "Oh, what's this?" And I checked. I was like, "Oh, fucking right! I'm speaking to him Thursday. That's fucking brilliant." Yeah, it's real good. It's really, really good. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Are you happy with it? Are you happy with
it? Yeah, very much. Yeah, it's been really strange and really different than the way that we've done things compared to how we normally would, and that's good as well. You know, yeah. I mean, we've kind of had our own set processes, I guess, how we've worked and all the other records, and this has been completely different. I mean, Jack has a really nice studio, which has afforded us the time to actually, you know, kind of pre-pro the tracks as we've been writing them in the studio, which is amazing. So it's been a completely different experience, and yeah, it's been great, really good. So
nice. Did you when you were previously writing, was it just like in a practice room writing, or was it someone would send over a song, or?
Yeah, a bit of both. I mean, when we first kind of started as Lonely the Brave, it would be pretty much all rehearsal rooms. So literally just in there banging ideas about, you know, David literally be standing in the room, you know, just coming up with melodies, and everyone would just throw stuff in. And kind of as we progressed and it became more difficult, I guess, to be together, it turned into more sort of sending ideas across, you know. So I'd present some guitar bits to David, come back with some vocals on it, and then we'd take that into a rehearsal room, and then we all, you know, it's still kind of the same vibe. This time it's been really interesting to kind of combine all of that, but with the advances in modern technology of being able to kind of record things and do it as we're going along as well, and then just, you know, pick things apart and restructure it and play with it. So it's been really good fun doing it that way. But the interesting thing for us really though is we've never played these songs as a set. You know, you kind of as a band, you know, even when you're writing, generally you still run through the songs you've got one after another, don't you? Right, we've never done that. We've never had the opportunity to do that because of what's been going on. So we've got this album of songs that, you know, we haven't even played them together at the same time. Yeah, a bit weird, but it's good fun.
Yeah,
nice. Yeah, well, fingers crossed they all come together when you all turn up and be like, right then, 1, 2, 3, 4, everybody's playing something different.
Oh, no. Shit, guys. Yeah, it's a write-off. It's a write-off.
First gig, people are like, I didn't realise only the Braves' new album was like Dillinger Escape Plan. Everybody seems to be playing something completely different.
We wish.
But as I said, man, it's such an interesting time, you know, with the band finally being back and releasing stuff. But from an outside's point of view, I think a lot of people have just seemed that because you've been so quiet, they're not really sure what's been going on with everything over the last couple of years. Can you just run down the kind of situation and why it's taken you so long and what you've all been doing individually in that time?
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, part of the reason it's taken so long is we wanted to get the right person, you know, with everything that happened, you know, with Dave leaving and everything else, there was a big question mark, do we continue, do we not? I mean, yeah, I think from all of our point of view, there was never really any thought that we'd stop. It was more of a case of having the right person. The idea of Jack came along very quick, to be honest, because we played shows together before where Jack had supported us and, you know, knew he's an outrageous talent, but two, a really nice dude. So, you know, he was one of the first people that we called. And so that happened. You know, we had a change of label, change of management. So that, you know, there's obviously time scales involved with that kind of stuff. So that kind of stuff takes time. For anyone who's been in a band knows how that kind of scenarios work.
Was it difficult to get out of both management and label?
No, not at all. Look, we had a really, really good relationship with Hassel and our management, you know, before, which actually was, you know, was from Hassel and full-time hobby. And they're good guys. We wouldn't be where we are now without them. You know, we owe them a lot. We've always said that. So no, there was never any animosity from either side. It's not what it's about. I think things run its course, and natural timing takes its course, and we are where we are now. So actually, quite a nice position to be in. You know, I know I could still call those guys and have a chat, which is nice. Yeah. You know, and actually, you know, I had like a really shitty time earlier in the year. I lost my dad, unfortunately. No, thank you, man. It's one of those things. But, you know, one of the first people that contacted me was Wes to say, you know, shit, man, I'm so sorry to hear what's happened. You know, so we still have that relationship, I think, which is important. You know, you don't want to burn any bridges with anybody. It's not what it's about. So it's business at the end of the day, you know. So that, but in between, you know, we've all got real life as well. You know, like I said earlier, I'm a dad. I've got two kids, you know. I've got to make sure that they're cool and all the things that go along with that. And the rest of the guys have got their antics as well. So, you know, people have to survive. And unfortunately, in between record deals and everything else that goes along, you need to live. So, you know, we've all been doing normal jobs. We've all been doing all that stuff as well as, which, you know, fortunately, unfortunately, whichever way you look at it, means that you don't have as much time as we did when we were full-time doing it. You know, when we had Sony's budget to play with, that we could, you know, be full-time recording and writing. So, but, you know, it's just kind of good. It gives you the time to make sure the things are right. And we've been under no pressure to get things out quicker.
Yeah.
We've got it to a point where we're happy with it to then release it.
Good. Nice.
Yeah, it's good. Very good to hear.
No, it's cool, man. And three of them has been going on as well. I mean, like the guys, I mean, Bush and Mo as well. Jeez, I mean, I'm not sure if you guys know where, but like Bush is a nurse. So he's been heavily involved in everything that's been going on recently, obviously. Mo is an ambulance driver, so he does patient transport. So those guys have been to the wall for the last how many months now with all this stuff going on. So you know, I think it's the right thing to be doing at the moment as well. You know, helping out. So
yeah, Oh, good. Yeah, been a bit great to see that you know, all the creative juices are flowing again and everything's ready for this. But if we can kind of just dissect everything, because as you said, there's so much has gone on in this weird period of time and in these few years. I mean, with Dave leaving the band, I think regular fans of Lonely the Brave always knew that he suffered really strongly with some mental health issues, and that was always kind of a factor and stated as one of the reasons of his departure. What was it, something you all knew for a while leading up to it, or was it just a very emotional conversation one day? How did that period of time play out?
Dave's Dave, you know, I've known Dave for a very, very long time, and we all have. And in some respects, strangely, even though he's one of my kind of closest friends or everything we've done with the band, I still don't feel like I know him, you know. That's his character. And that's why he is as talented as he is and, you know, as special as he is. So there have always been stresses in Lonely the Brave, you know, and tensions for the right reasons, because everyone cares about it, because everyone really wants it to do what it needs to do. I don't think there's any extra tension leading up to that. I mean, you know, Dave would be the first to admit he quit the band, like, I can't even tell you how many times, you know, over the years. But always kind of on the side of, yeah, he'll be back tomorrow. You know, we always felt that. And this was different, and for the right reasons. Look, you know, we support him, as you said a million times before in interviews, you know, we'd support him to the ends of the earth for any reason, but, you know, especially the one that is that important. And, you know, look, he's not the only person in the band that's suffered with, you know, these kind of things. Actually, I think four of the five of us have, you know, so, and do at various times. So, you know, we all understand and appreciate exactly where he was. And, you know, I've spoken to him a couple of times since, only on messages, really, but he's in a much better place, so it was the right decision, you know. He took the brave step of saying, this is too much. There's times where probably any of us probably should have done that. You could argue the toss after the event that actually we're still going, it's all cool, but, you know, there's points where you think, this is a bit much now, you know. But it takes a lot of balls to do what he did, to say, do you know what, no, I've got to do the right thing for me, and respect to that, absolutely.
Nice. Did you try anybody else out before Jack, or did you have many auditions for it, or...?
We had two. We had my really good friend of mine auditioned as well. A guy called James, who goes by the name of Sivu. If you've ever heard of Sivu, James Page, amazingly talented singer songwriter. He's just such a lovely human. He's such a lovely, lovely guy. I've known him for years. I've done some shows with him as well, playing for him. Yeah, he came down and played, and it was great. It was really good fun. I think ultimately, Jack was just a benefit because of the power of his voice, I guess, really, more than anything else. You know, James, by his own admission, would be, you know, a softer, more lilting thing, but he's just a stunning, stunning singer, a stunning songwriter in his own right. So, yeah, so it was just the two of them, really. That was it. I mean, we had James, I think Jack came on the next week, and then we were just like, well, don't need to look anymore. No, that was it.
Nice.
So, yeah, quite lucky, really.
Yeah, real lucky. Yeah, that's awesome.
But with Jack joining the band as well, of course, many people will know him from his time in Grumblebee, you know, Jack Bennett. But whenever a band changes a vocalist, it seems to be much more of a bigger deal than a replacement anywhere else in the band as well, especially being the voice. Do you see this as a kind of second coming of Lonely the Brave, or just continuing where you left off?
It's just a continuation. I mean, it's a funny thing to say. I mean, like, we've had this discussion so many times. The songs to us are the most important part about it. You know, and that's not everyone's replaceable, is it? Or, you know, kind of callous situation. They take on their own character and they have their own life. And I don't know, it's not just that anyone can play a song and have it be the same way. That's not the point. Everyone brings their own thing to the party. You know, there's still four of the five of the original, you know, kind of members of the band.
Yeah.
So it still sounds like us with something else. And that's the whole point, isn't it, of music? Otherwise, you know, if you've got one person that's writing and telling everyone else what to play, well, what's the point of being in the band? You might as well just be a solo artist, you know? So, yeah, it just brings a different dynamic. I know, such a weird cliche way to put it, but I just keep saying to anyone who asks me, I'm like, it's the same but different. That's all I can think. Because it kind of is. It still sounds like us, you know, but Jack brings his own thing to the party, and that's what we wanted him to do. We were adamant. We don't want Dave 2.0, because exactly for that reason, don't try and fill his boots. You won't be able to. He's Dave. You're Jack. That's the whole point. You bring what you are to this party, you know? Yeah, and it's worked really well. So
nice. Yeah. But I think shifting dynamic really describes the change possibly in the best way, because, you know, Jack's vocals are a little bit of a higher range than Dave's, and he does bring his own talents to the table. When working on this new record, was there anything you had to do differently with songwriting to kind of fit his vocal range, or has it just been the same since day one?
No, that, I mean, to be honest, they're not actually that different. Okay. In terms of range at all. I mean, Dave had an incredible range. Dave could go from very low to really, really high. I'm sure he still has. I don't know. Haven't heard him sing recently. But so, you know, I don't think they are that different in terms of their vocals. In terms of writing process, no. I mean, actually, in terms of how the songs were constructed, that would be exactly the same. Not in the fact of how we did it, but we recorded all the music first. Everything was down musically first. We didn't write music to any lyrics or melody. And that's exactly how we've always done it. So in fact, in terms of process, that's exactly the same as it always has been. So we had an entire album of music that then Jack put melody and vocals to.
Does that mean there's other versions of the songs on people's Macs that people don't know yet?
You know the story. Yeah, man. There's loads of different versions with slightly different vocals and things, and, you know, I mean, I've still got loads of stuff from that from the Day's War and things of matter and everything else as well. You know, I mean, yeah, it's exactly how it works. I mean, maybe one day they'll appear. Yeah, B-sides.
I was going to say, yeah, rarities. Just content for days, really.
That's it. Just nice. Get it out there, guys.
But how is Jack settled in to everything now that obviously it's announced that he's in the band and the new music is out? Because obviously he's been working on stuff for quite a while without revealing anything. So how is it being for him now actually being in that spotlight with you guys?
To be honest, I don't really know. I guess you need to ask him. I mean, the funny thing for us in that respect is because we haven't had the opportunity to do what we would normally do.
That's true.
You know,
yeah.
We've gone on tour, we've done all these things, and I'll be able to give you more of an opinion of yeah, how he is. But, you know, from what I know, you know, I mean, look, he's getting on with it. He's smashing it. You know, Jack is really good at the kind of the media side of things, the social media side of things. I'm shite at all that stuff, kind of intentionally as well. I get a bit pissed off with it all. So, you know, he's brilliant with that. He brings that dynamic as well. But I think he's fine. You know, I just want us to get on tour to do it properly.
Yeah,
you know,
that's when you find out, really. You have to spend a couple of weeks together in a bus or a van, sweaty.
Exactly.
Coming off, somebody's taken the last beer. Oh, we'll find out. Yeah, we'll find out if Jack fits. No,
exactly. This is it. Well, so no, without that problem, he doesn't drink. So
he's perfect. Do you know what?
Exactly.
He's gonna be fine.
He's a keeper. No, so yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, we did like a little run of three shows before we went into record the record, just as a kind of intro to Jack, you know. And they were great fun. You know, felt like a massive weight off our shoulders to just be back and playing. But it was three shows, you know, and that's all we've done. That's all we've done since, because of all this crazy stuff that's happening, you know. I just can't wait to play in front of people, man. That's what it comes down to, you know.
I was going to say, speaking of playing, yeah, you've recently announced you're also playing 2000 Trees 21 as well, hopefully.
Yeah,
Fingers crossed.
Across everything.
Yeah.
I love that festival, man. Yeah, I absolutely love that. We will do it. It's just banging. In fact, I think the first time I ever saw you was maybe at the back of 2000 Trees. Ooh. I think it was 2000 Trees.
At the back? Oh. What was he doing? That's how it would...
Just back. Backstage, man.
Oh, okay. No.
I thought you meant he was just hanging around the back, just lurking.
Yeah, couldn't get in. Couldn't get in. But
just
a car park.
Trees.
Just in the car park, like, oh, okay, yeah.
I think it might have been that anyway, but it's just such a wicked festival, man.
The size
is perfect, the position is perfect, they get such a great lineup every year, man. I mean, I think it was last time I was there, you know, I was a big Frightened Rabbit fan, watching Frightened Rabbit and stuff, and it was like, yeah, special place. And this year with Jimmy World and everything else, great festival. Yeah. Can't wait to be back there.
Oh, yeah, same for us. My band's playing as well, and I think me and Morgan are going to be there talking to people all weekend, so
wicked.
Fingers crossed.
That's if I don't accidentally murder myself or something on stage during our set. So, which is
not to do that.
Yeah, you never know. That's the thing. That's,
well, it's good publicity. Well, you know, you're gonna get you.
Well, if anything, yeah, I just leave my family. I just, you know, I think of all the Spotify plays after my death.
Exactly.
It sorts the boys. It sorts the boys in my band right out.
Kill yourself for Spotify. That is absolutely what you need to do.
I'll kill myself for a million plays. That's about 200 quid. Ah, that's not enough.
I'm going to get my kids to take that into school tomorrow. Now, kids, this is what you need to do in the future.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Sorry, man.
I was going to say that should be a merch design, but I don't know how well it would go down.
Kill yourself for Spotify.
Yeah.
Let me just write that down as a new Raiders lyric. Is. We kill ourselves for Spotify. We kill ourselves. I've written that down, boys. You're laughing.
No, man. Seriously, we'll split it three ways. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
I've got the merch rights here sorted. We'll get a contract.
You wait till this gets to number 128 in the UK rock charts, boys. That's £7 between us. We are laughing. Sorry, I've gone way off now, haven't I?
But speaking of shows as well, I mean, one thing I did want to ask is, in Dave's time in the band and everything, sometimes it did seem live that you had to perform a bit more of an energetic role to get the crowd more involved on some occasions, because Dave was famous for kind of just focusing on his vocals and making sure everything sounded perfect. Did you feel any pressure with that maybe you had to step up a little bit or anything?
Oh yeah, massively. Yeah. I mean, I never want to be a frontman. I don't want to be a frontman. Not there's anything wrong with that, but you know, I play guitar, yeah, I definitely felt that pressure. I kind of look back at some of those performances and just think, oh, you know, it's like, I don't know. Yeah, 100%, nail on the head. I mean, I think that's one of the things that, of the few shows that we have done, I remember we did a nice little festival show out in Holland with Jack. And actually, there's one of the three little shows that we did, just finished so relaxed on stage because I didn't have to think about that part anymore. And that was lovely, just to be able to just concentrate on playing my guitar and having fun with my mates. You know, very much true. And again, a big weight lifted for me personally.
Yeah, it seems Jack is quite the showman from what I've seen of Grumblebee in the past. So looking forward to finally seeing some LTB shows. And what's he going to add to all that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to see him swinging from some lighting rigs and mic around his head.
The classics.
That's it. Yeah, absolutely.
But talk to us more about The Hopeless. Obviously, you know, it's come out on January 22nd, and the track so far seem to have had such a great response with the flow and how it sounds and everything. But I mean, how different was this album to make for you? I mean, does it seem and feel different than the others? I mean, creatively?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I mean, again, because the writing process was a little different in how we approached it. And yes, I mean, there were time constraints put upon us, which, you know, because of everything that's happened. I mean, I don't know. I don't know of any musician that's ever 100% happy with a record that they've made. You know, there's always something you want to. Yeah, there you go. So.
I've never made a record I'm happy with. Never, ever, no. Ever think. I would carry on trying, to sing better. It's never going to work. That'll do, Pig.
Exactly. No, but exactly. So, you know, there's some of the tracks where I think, again, like, we spent 2 years writing it and pre-proing it and getting it ready. But actually, in terms of actual physical recording for this album, I mean, personally, my guitar parts were done in one day.
Oh, wow.
So, wow. You know, that's not a brag. That's like, I want to go back and do more. Yeah. You know, because that was the time constraints that we had, you know. So actually, and I was planning to go back and do more, but everything happened, you know. So I think we had what we needed. And actually, you know, perhaps it would have probably been detrimental if I went back and started layering 20,000 guitars, doing like tapping solos and shit. But I mean, is it different? Yes and no. Again, like, it feels like us, it sounds like us.
Is it all self-produced?
Jack produced the record, yeah. Nice. So we did it all at Jack's studio, which, you know, again, as I say, for me, it was, you know, 24 hours of guitar playing after 2 years of writing and doing it. For Jack, it's been thousands of hours, obviously. So I think, yeah, that's a whole other responsibility, you know, and one that, again, all of us would love to have been more involved with, but circumstances have dictated that, you know, we've had to do everything via email, which has its own issues, you know, in terms of communication and everything else that, you know, yeah, you just want to be in a room together. That's the one thing I did miss in this record, because we've always, not necessarily for the mixing totally, but, you know, you're there for the majority of the recording. I love seeing and listening to Mo play drums. I love seeing, you know, watching Bush do his bass takes and Ross come up with insane squealing guitars. I don't know how he does it. I love being there while the guys are doing that and while the vocals are going down. But again, because of circumstances, we couldn't do that this time. So, you know, when it came to my parts, certainly it was me, Jack in the studio, and that was it. So that's real different, and something that, you know, not necessarily bad, just different. I just like being there while it's being created, you know, and I like any musician, I get off on that. I love it. So, yeah.
And I'm guessing you use Jack for B-sides and stuff as well, going, you know, like, it's all in-house now, like, it saves you...
Nah, he was shy, so...
yeah. Oh, no, we're going to get somebody else to do the B-side. He's fucked the A-side so bad, we're going to have to have a... We're going to have a sterling B-side to make up for how bad he's fucked the ace. No, yeah, that's the golden ticket, I suppose, for bands, having someone who's a great producer in the band.
It's perfect, yeah. And we don't take it for granted. It's not something that we're taking the piss with. You know, we're paying him to do it, because at the end of the day, it's what he does. But it's great. We're lucky to do it this way.
I was quite intrigued by the title of the record, The Hopeless. I mean, what actually is the Hopeless? Is there like a theme with these songs, or is it just a lyrical thing?
A bit of both. I mean, the title was Jack's idea, and it's quite an interesting one, because what we've always said with our music, we always think we're writing like the most moody, fucking depressing songs on the face of the earth, and then when we listen back, you're like, oh, actually, they're not at all. There's like, and there's always this strong element of hope. There always is. Loads of people said that to us as well, and we always feel the same. It was really interesting, really intriguing when Jack suggested this title and came the same reason, you know, to him, that the song sounded like they had this feeling in them, you know, that the other albums have had as well, of underlying hope, you know, of whatever the situation may be. So hence where it came from. And I guess, you know, for Jack, it's to do with the lyrical content, certain tracks. Again, he can explain that better than me. But I guess for the rest of us, yeah, it's not necessarily the hope of continuing on and doing it, but the hope of, I don't know, just trying to lead a life less ordinary, I guess, you know, still getting to do what we love and putting music out that people are into, and that's what we want from it. Yeah.
And, I mean, Lonely the Brave have been a band for like over a decade now, and you've done some wild things in that time, from just phenomenal tours in the UK and overseas, and festivals, from playing the main stage of Reading and Leeds to arena shows supporting A Day to Remember. I mean, just so many things. But when you look back at everything and have this time to reflect, I mean, what's some of the memories that stick out for you that you think, oh, well, that's crazy, like, that sometimes is unbelievable you've actually been able to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's a funny one, like, because I don't know, you look back and you think these times should have been like the happiest times you've ever had, you know, because you're doing these things that you've always dreamed of. And I think it's a combination of things with our band, that because we were under such a strange scenario a lot of the time, that there was so much pressure internally with what was going on, that actually a lot of the times we have weren't that much fun, you know, which is a real shame. I mean, you look back on it now, that things that should have been so amazing, and they were amazing, that you didn't take them for what they were because you were so wrapped up in all the stuff that was going on. But that said, I mean, things that stick out for me, I mean, yeah, like you said, main stage Reading and Leeds, that's one of the ones I'll always cherish forever. I mean, I've watched every band I've ever loved on that stage, you know, and to gather and to play, it was just like, wow, man, that was incredible. Glastonbury was awesome just because it's Glastonbury. You can't. I would say in terms of tours, the one that will always stick out was Biffy. The tour in Europe with Biffy Clyro was just phenomenal. The most lovely, lovely, lovely men, and their crew are just incredible as well. And so we were honoured, absolutely honoured, to have done that tour. And we did a show with them in Belfast as well at the Titanic exhibition outside, which was, that was really special as well. So otherwise, man, Rock and Ring, Rock and Park, yeah, we did, they were crazy. Although we had a nightmare at the first one, but trying to play Rock and Ring as Nine Inch Nails crew are trying to set up for the evening around you, like, cool, this is fun.
Oh, wow, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, waiting for Trent Reznor to come and beat the shit out of us for being in his cruise way or something. We've done a lot of stuff. And do you know what? One that does stick out is really early on was Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, because those guys were just such pros. They taught us a lot, I think. I guess the earliest one, though, that blew our minds was Deftones. We supported Deftones in Paris.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That was bonkers. I remember being so nervous. Like, Steph was at the door as we came in, and it's like, welcome to Paris. And all of us just like... I just couldn't say anything, you know? It's like, Jesus, like, these guys are our heroes. And then we got to watch them, you know, side of stage. And there was one point where Chino saw us all standing on the side of the stage, and we're like, oh, fuck, we're going to get kicked off here. And he kind of, like, looked, he couldn't see because of the lights. And he's like... So we're like, oh my god, yeah. So fucking cool is this? So we've been really lucky, man. We're just fans of all these bands, and just we've not met anyone who's been a dickhead, which is amazing.
Yeah, that's good to you. That's very good to you. That's awesome. The Deftones thing is brilliant.
do you know what's really funny? So Steph had a foot controller for his amplifier, and every single button, or he had labeled as scenes. The way he remembered them, they were all different pictures of tits.
that's what we do, and that's what we like to bring out on Sapling Podcast, the behind the scenes details of people's foot pedals.
I'm a guitar gig, man. That's where he had, and it's like he has to remember, or you know, in the middle of like whatever song, like, oh cool, that chorus is those ones.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say like different scenes of a movie or something like that, you know, so he'd be like, oh, that's the beginning. All right, no, I get it. Yeah. How do you...
That's a brilliant idea, though. Now I'm just seeing Top Gun on my pedalboard.
There you go.
Playing beach volleyball and stuff. Oh, wow, man.
So, yeah. No, that's... When you said, oh, yeah, so we had pictures of... I was like, oh, it's, you know... Bruce Wayne's parents being shot, and then he's putting the suit on, you know, so, you know, to go in order with the song.
Yeah,
How do you decipher the order of the boobs? Which is the craziest sentence I've said on this podcast. How do you decide the order of the boobs?
But, like, I've got an image in my head now of him going, this is the clean guitar part, so I need X boobs. Like,
bra.
Yeah. Like, 100%, man. Like, the guy must be...
Yeah. We're going to have to get him on just to ask that now. We're going to have to. that's blown me for six.
That's a speechless story, to be fair. But like,
he's my hero.
I'm just lost now. I'm lost thinking how do you decipher from boob to boob? Like, what's he's got a method to his madness, and I need to know it now. Otherwise, this is going to keep me up all night, I think.
Amazing!
You've ruined my evening now.
Mate, you'll find it online. The guy is such a massive guitar geek. Like, he talks for like days, and he's been talking. I don't think at that point he'd been trying this thing for 2 years, trying to get it where he wanted it, and still couldn't get it there. So yeah, you'll find it online.
Right,
definitely.
I've written down Steph pedal tits. Let's see how that goes.
This is stunning new solo project. Steph pedal tits.
But like, while reminiscing, like meeting some of your musical heroes and everything, is there any other ones that come to mind that you've been able to interact with or stuff in your journey?
Just been near. Has there been anyone you've just been near and you're like, how has this happened? Like, because I know that happened to me several times.
Yeah, I mean, I guess backstage at various different festivals, you see people be like, oh, fuck, you're real. You're actually a real person. Jeez, you're not, like, on the TV or something. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, there's people that I massively admired. Like, I mentioned Frying Rabbit earlier. I'm a huge Frying Rabbit fan. And we did, what festival? Latitude. And they had the next dressing room to us, and they were just hanging out there. And, again, being so like such a massive fan, I didn't want to go over and say anything, which is just stupid. And I massively regret that now. Massively regret. I mean, I'd like to say hello to Scott and stuff in my past, but, you know, just want to go over and have a chat. These things happen, I guess. Who else? Josh Homme.
Nice.
He's a big boy.
He's a very tall fella, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think he was on an off day when I saw him, but that's another story. I don't know. No, yeah, I don't know, just from a distance, a lot of people. I guess we kind of keep ourselves to ourselves and don't kind of get in the way. Because I always have things like, are we supposed to be here? We're like this little band from Cambridgeshire. Yeah. There's all these really important people around here.
Well, yeah, for years I kind of secretly suffered with imposter syndrome, where I'd just be walking around going, I can't believe, like, I don't, like, oh my God, Motley Crue were there. We did Download Festival, and like literally next door was Tommy Lee, a DJ equipment, in his own dressing room, in his own cabin. And then the rest of Motley Crue, the 70 plus age range, were at a different room. And I was just like, how is this? But then, yeah, there's bits in where you have to like just pretend that you're like, ah, this is fine, man. Yeah, of course I meant to be talking to Pharrell. What's this?
Exactly. Yeah, of course, he's my mate. The vampire at his age, yeah.
It's mental.
No, it is completely bonkers. I think Mo got good one with, the year Iron Maiden played, we ended up back in there, like somehow blagged our way into their backstage bit. And Nico was serving pints behind their own bar. And Mo, being Mo, because Mo doesn't give a fuck, just went, all right, and took a picture with a flash right in his face. And it was just like, no pictures. Like, yeah. It's funny. I did get the biggest one, actually, I've forgotten to now. The biggest one, I was really lucky. My friend Andy Huns, he was really involved with like graphics design, and he'd done an album artwork that was put forward for the Endless River Pink Floyd's album. From memory, he said there was like hundreds of bits of art that they bought to go for this record, and then they were going to pick one. So there was all these really famous, like Damien Hirst, and all these people submitted stuff, and they ended up going like some Spanish artist I never heard of. But Andy invited me to the Endless River launch party. So I went to London with him to that, because I'm a huge Pink Floyd fan. And I met Dave Gilmore. And that blew my mind, because, yeah, I'm a huge fan of the band, but I'm a massive fan of Dave Gilmore. And he was just a lovely, lovely man. He actually took a picture of us. There was a selfie of all three of us, taken by David, which is pretty
awesome.
Cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, I'm glad you've got that memory. That's amazing. Have you got that picture?
I have. It's on Instagram, I think.
Oh, well, Morgan, keep that. We'll remember that. We'll use that for socials. So, yeah. Always thinking.
You're telling me to steal his content and use it for our own. Yeah,
feel free, okay, man. Oh, well, you feel free, fine. Crack on.
We're going to be using pictures of his face anyway. Like,
yeah, I know.
We're going to blur his face out. Yeah. His face and his name.
What are we talking
his
about?
Face, yeah. The graphic for this is going to say, Saturday Podcast with Sean Smith, episode whatever number, very special guest, blanked out from blank. And just a blank, like...
I'm well up for that.
Yeah, we weren't allowed to. Use any of this content.
We'll dub your voice and everything. So oh. It's. It
was just... hang on.
Nice. That is awesome.
Good old boy.
Yeah, you're going to have to bring his voice a couple of octaves down, Morg, so he sounds like
like a crime like scene a thing.
Yeah, like a witness in protection, like. Yeah, so when I was in Lonely the Brave. Well, it's going to be one in Lonely the Brave, isn't it? That's what it'll be like. fair play.
Oh, God, we're silly. But getting back on the serious track as well, I mean, I wanted to kind of revisit some of the early days, because I noticed that Hassle Records are actually re-releasing your debut album, The Day's War, on vinyl to celebrate their 15th year anniversary as a record label as well. And I think that was a record that got you guys so much attention when it first came out. Obviously, it was kind of like your breakthrough release and your debut and stuff like that. But it definitely connected with a whole audience in that kind of K music scene in Europe at that time. What's some of your fondest memories of its release?
Or not fondest release, memories, Christ. If you've got any, like, I don't know, you know, crazy memories of shit that happened.
Well, we recorded. Do you know what? That record was a couple of years old by the time we released it. We paid for it ourselves. We did it all ourselves. It was recorded in Jordan Fisher's old studio. I don't know if he's still got it, actually. We didn't know it was his at the time, actually. I think he wasn't in the room at that point. But we were sleeping in Mo's dad's builder's van outside because we couldn't afford to stay anywhere. And we were sleeping literally around the wheel arch in the back of this thing. And, you know, so we did it properly. I guess going from that, I mean, I remember we were signing our deal with Hassle, and we were playing like tiny shows somewhere in like Norwich or whatever, and to like nobody, and then instantly went from that to like supporting Springsteen, the London, whatever it was, you know, by the Olympic Stadium there, and it's like, what the fuck has happened? And then just kind of thinking, oh, cool, this is just how it is, right? This is just what happens now, and like realizing actually afterwards how lucky we were to have gone on that kind of trajectory, but. I think maybe too fast for us. I don't know. You know, I think you got it perfectly early. Imposter syndrome. That's how it feels. Certainly how it felt for a while. It's like, fuck, we're here with like real bands. We're not a real band. And I think we still feel that at times, you know, like 12, 13 years later, or whatever it is for this band, you know. So, no, but I just being blown away by the fact that people gave a shit. That's all I can say, really. You know, songs that we wrote in a little rehearsal room somewhere in Cambridge or in our bedrooms and you know, with our mates, got to take us around the whole of Europe and to meet lovely people and to do amazing things. You know, that was the most special time, I think. And that record still is probably my favourite because of that, you know.
Nice. Yeah, how did the Springsteen thing come about? How did that happen?
I think that was down to Mr. Andy Copping, I believe. So Andy came to see us play at, I think it was upstairs at the Garage on like a Thursday night or something random. Yeah, I think from there things kind of snowballed. So yeah, I think it was all down to Andy, really.
I like to think I like to think he took his cowboy hat off and he said, "You're going to be supporting," and then put his hand in. Kiss. No, you don't want to do Kiss. What about Springsteen? Yes,
that's exactly how it happened.
From now on,
that's exactly how it happened.
That's how I'm telling people stuff happened to me. Yeah, we're hoping to have Andy on at some point because
he's got some stories.
Got
some stories and then some. You mentioned there playing some bad venues in like Norwich, Cambridge, and different places around the UK. What's the worst setup you've ever had to performing? You don't have to name venues, but
let's have a crap venue off. What's the worst show you've had to play?
Oh God, we've played some howlers. We did play in what was supposed to be the basement of a bar. I think it was in Norwich as well. Actually, we got down there and it was just like a broken concrete floor that was dug up, like just dust and shit, and like no lights. We're like, oh cool, okay, we're in a dungeon, we're going to die, we're literally going to die. That was pretty good. We drove all the way to Lyon in France, and then found out we were playing on a barge, which sounds amazing. Like, oh cool, so there's actually one in
stage isn't big enough, is that the answer?
Well, yeah, but there's an amazing one in Lyon, which is on a barge, which is really cool. But then we went to Lyon, and we drove for fucking hours. And it was the last day of like a 12-week tour. We were all fucking hating it and just dying to get home and just hating every second. Then we got there and literally, yeah, three people there, free show. No one knew who we were. Like, but can you just play for like 15 minutes and just fuck off, please? Like, okay, cool, nice. Like literally standing on top of each other like, okay, cool, we've made it, guys. So yeah, that wasn't much fun. I'd lost all sense of humour at that point. I was done.
Wow.
Sure, that happened to me several times in France. I think I quit the band once in France.
What?
Yeah. It's, I don't know what it is. It must be something about the air in France that makes me makes me just not want to be there.
Do you know, we've never had a good show in Paris either. Never.
Really?
Not once. Like, we've played Paris so many times and something always goes wrong. We played, I can't remember the name of the venue, but it's down by the river. And, you know, really cool venues. Things started going really well. And then everything starts breaking and, like, looking like I was going on. It's like, fuck, you know. And I'm throwing all of my gear in the river after the show. Just being so pissed off, just lobbing loads of stuff into the river. Just like, fuck this. You know, we've never had a good show in Paris. I don't know what it is. We're just really unlucky with Paris.
I'm thinking back, I didn't know, and we did a show with Limp Bizkit there, and I had gastroenteritis, so I couldn't play.
Oh, mate.
Yeah. I couldn't play. Yeah, so somebody else filled in for me who didn't know the words. That's brilliant, eh?
Perfect, yeah.
Yeah.
Spot on.
Supporting Limp Bizkit, like, so it's not even like, it's a local show, chuck anybody up here. Oh, no, so what, Limp Bizkit? Oh, give him a go. Let's see how he does.
Just get friend in. Right,
can you shout? Yes, I can. Get up, eh, boy. Get up, eh. In Paris, yeah, with Funeral for a Friend, we turned up and they wanted us to play a barge and there was no room for Ryan's drum kit wouldn't have fitted on the stage.
Wow.
Let alone cabs or support bands playing as well. So we literally couldn't play. So, yeah, I don't know if... Have I ever played...
Noise limiters.
Oh, that's the worst. Oh, my God. You can't go over 80 decibels. You're like, I'm talking at 86.
Yeah, 100%. We played a show in Stamford near Peterborough once, and I remember literally just soloing through every single song because you couldn't hear me at all. So what's the point? Snare drum was just turning everything off every time you hit it.
Yeah.
So what's the fucking point?
Yeah, I played a gig in Watford once, and every song we'd start it, and 4 seconds in, all the power would cut, and we were like, right, we've tried this six times now. It's not going to happen. We're going to have to give up. It's mental, isn't it? Like, why would you even have a venue if you've got the sound curfew? Like, it's
it doesn't make any sense, does it, for anybody? But then they want you to just turn up with like a DJ desk and.
But then that's a quiet DJ as well, mate. he's not really dropping bangers, is he? More of tappers, I suppose they would be, than bangers.
I'm so middle aged, I can tell you my lawnmower is 92 dB. All right.
But at least that DJ's got the option to turn it down quite easily. I mean,
just everybody has to play lighter. Yeah. Jesus, yeah, they're unbelievable.
But I don't think many music fans like kind of realize some of the absolutely like toilet venues, as people like to call them, you have to get through kind of to try and make it and stuff. I mean, I think, you know, when they see, oh, well, they've played main stage Reading and Leeds, so everything's easy for them. But like, well, a couple of months ago, we were playing Paris, so apparently not.
No.
But I think you've got to do it. It's like a rite of passage, isn't it? You're not paying your due. I think it wears thin if that's where you get to and that's where it kind of stops, you know. And as you kind of get older, you're like, this is no fucking fun. This isn't fun anymore, you know?
Yeah, my new band did a gig in February for Independent Venue Week. So we went on tour and we played a pub in Carmarthen in South Wales. If you get offered to play Carmarthen, South Wales, turn it down. Right. So we got offered this gig. We turned up. It was literally the back room of a pub, right? And I'm no venueist, right? I'm no venue snob. I will literally play anywhere, right? We turned up. There was a pool table in the middle of the dance floor, right? I said, "Oh,
perfect.
Where's that pool table going to go?" He said, "Oh, that's part of the stage." I was like, "What?" They brought another pool table in. Took two pool tables down the end of the room, right? Set them, like, add them there then, put a bit of MDF, that's medium density fiberboard, yes, for any labourers, and just plonk that over the pool table, right? So when the guitar and the bass amp were on each pool table, when the guitars and basses were also standing on the pool table, the amps were just bouncing and nearly falling over.
Fucking brilliant.
Dreadful. Absolutely dreadful.
Man.
Yeah, I'm not a venueist, but that, like, I literally went, I'm too old for this shit. I was Danny Glover. Yeah, I was too old for this shit. I'd rather not have had those pool tables whatsoever and everybody played on the floor.
Yeah, man, no, and the thing is, people just don't get it either. They're like, well, they think you're a prima donna because you're like, what the fuck? I'm not going to stand on a pool table that's covered in a bit of MDF and I nearly die playing it into 12 people. Yeah, I mean, mate, I hear you completely, man. Yes, yeah, no, not fun.
Yeah, and just a couple of more very quick things, Mark, obviously, before we let you go. One thing we have to mention is the fact that one of our patrons and supporters of the podcast is actually quite an avid Longy the Brave fan. I don't have to mention him. You know who he is, because he turns up.
It's James, yeah?
Yes. Probably every show. My question is, what's the weirdest fan experience you've had in Longy the Brave?
James.
And is it James?
We are now going to lose a Patreon member, and he's lost a fan.
No, you're not. He's going to love the fact that he's being talked about in this context. So it's fine.
No, man. James is a lovely, lovely dude, man. He's just a music lover, and we love him for it. You know, what's kind of amazing for us is we turn up somewhere that perhaps we've never ever been before, and you see someone that you know and that is cool. And you're like, hey, man, how's it going? And that's the best thing ever. No, he's a lovely, lovely man. We're very lucky. I can't think of any weird fan moments. We've got so many people that really, really care about our band, and that's incredibly special. We're very lucky to have that, man. You know. We don't take any of that for granted from anybody, you know, and they know who they are, Chris, Trina, you know, there's loads of different people who've always been there for us. And, you know, I don't doubt it, you know, always will be, you know, there's no one weird out there. We've had some lovely moments. There's three girls from France that we see a lot who bring us like lovely snacks and treats and stuff whenever they see us. And Yeah, we're so lucky, man. We're so lucky.
Nice.
No, he's a dude. He knows it.
Yeah, no, we're pulling his leg. We both love James, but I'm surprised you haven't had any weird fan moments. Like, no one's asked you to like sign an orange at signing or anything. Like,
Morgan, what is your imagination, right? Where the best thing you can think of is, have you signed an orange?
Well, all right, have you signed
oranges?
One of my friends once took a prosthetic leg to be signed by Bert from the Used at Download Festival 1 year.
What?
I mean, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't
exactly.
You?
So I thought maybe this is a regular occurrence. Maybe
I've signed some strange things. Yeah, but generally it's body parts.
Okay.
I know someone that's got my signature tattooed on.
Ooh.
How bonkers is that?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. But yeah, I don't know. No, just strange ones. I've only had like one. We played a show somewhere, and this guy was like really intense. And that was pretty freaky. That happens, I guess. You know, and I can't say he's like a fan of the band. He was perhaps just someone who was there for the show or whatever. But you know, it goes past being just cool, and someone like, yeah, then you're like, okay, this is actually a bit scary now. Like, yeah, freaking me out now. but generally speaking, man, like, everyone's just fucking cool. We're really lucky.
Luckiest band in the world. Luckiest yeah, band man. In the world.
Right. Well, how many nutters
have
you
know?
Go on. How many have you got?
I've had a few. I've had people turn up at my parents' house from Holland in South Wales.
Oh, good.
Yeah, not Holland in South Wales. Holland. My parents. I knew I was coming. That's why I started to correct myself. Yeah. Came from Holland to South Wales. Turned up at my parents' house because they found my parents' address online because my brother had used it once to try and get like sponsorship for a motorbike he was racing, and they found it and turned up. And my father let him in and made him a cup of tea. And then
legend.
As you do.
Legend.
As you do.
I wasn't there. What other things? A girl bought me a flashlight. There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a bum one as well. They do them in three different genres.
Perfect. We're just saying wrong. We must be doing something wrong as a band, man. Seriously,
if you all get ridiculous blonde helmet haircuts. Oh, you won't be able to bloody move for fleshlights. I think that's probably what it is. They saw me and went, he is never getting a sexual partner. Let's get him a fleshlight. That's probably what it was. I'm trying to think of anything else weird. I signed a man's winky once.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's good.
He was showing off in Brighton.
Erect what? Or not?
Oh, what's a monster, do you think? Who's going to rip it up with a sticky on?
Your signature? Your signature's
really
big short.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of your
signature. Oh, my God. I love the it's high tide baby song. No. Basically, we were in Brighton, and it was after a show when I was outside talking to people, and I was signing stuff, and some dickhead came over drunk, and he was like, oh, you think you're famous, do you? And I was like, nope. And he was like, oh, you sign anything, will you? I was like, yeah, I bet you won't sign my dick. I was like, if you get it out, I'll try and sign it. So I did like one S, and I was like, oh, I can't write anymore, bro. It's not enough. It's not enough.
Too small.
Yay! Oh, fuck off, Odie, yeah. Signed a winky. A couple of nutters. We have, over the years, there have been a couple of nutters, but nothing too insane. Like, I've never feel threatened for my life. I suppose so. That's probably good, isn't it?
That's a good thing, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I look for in my bands, is to never have been threatened in it. If I'm going to join a band, I often check first if they've ever had their lives threatened. So
it's pretty high up on the list. Yeah, don't die.
What's the plans moving forward? What are we doing about studio time? Are we likely to be killed by our fans? That's the three questions I ask when joining a band. Cool, yeah.
Sorry, I've taken it down this road.
I took it down this road, didn't I? It's fine.
Well, I know,
it's all
but still,
good.
But still, okay. But with all that aside, what else can we expect now from Lonely the Brave coming up? Obviously, The Hope List, again, coming out on January 22nd. I'm sure there's going to be loads of things in between to kind of help promote it and push and everything. But anything else we should keep an eye out for?
I would just say, just keep an eye on the socials. Like you said, I mean, unfortunately, there was loads of other things that have planned that because of new announcements from the government have had to be shelved as well, which is shite. So I won't tell you what they were, because otherwise it's just even worse. But So there are lots of things coming out, and like you say, you know, it's just, we just want to get it out to people. That's all we want. We just want this record out so people can hear it and just to see the reaction. Because yeah, the reaction to the track so far has been so incredible and so rewarding. And we're just very, very lucky that people still give a shit, you know? That's the important thing. And that love's still there. We still have the love for it, and other people do as well. So it's just getting this record out and getting out to play to people. And that's all we want to do. I don't know any, you know, I see so many of my friends, the people that we've become friends with from touring, and everyone's saying the same. What you see on social media is like, just get me on a stage, just get me out playing, you know? That's all I think anyone wants to do at the moment. And can you imagine how that first gig is going to feel when there's a room full of people that have been cramped up and cooped up in their houses, you know, with all this stress and pressure, when that lifts, you know, it's going to take the roof off. We did I think it was Berlin the night after the Bataclan attack. And we were in Belgium the night it happened. So we drove and we didn't know what happened. We just saw these police cars and stuff. And then we saw the news and, you know, the feeling that night was insane, because you can imagine everyone was on edge and everyone was wondering, you know, what's happening. And I can only imagine it's going to feel like that, because after the first song, the place just erupted, went complete, and you literally felt the demons fly up to the roof. You know, everyone has forgotten, fuck it, we're here for a good time. So I can only hope that's going to happen in this first, well, I can imagine how it's going to go down. I hope it's going to go down. So.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's good to hear. And positive note to leave on, I suppose.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, cool. Thank you so much for giving us your time.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, it's been
my pleasure. It's been real good fun. Thank you.
No, yeah, thanks. Congratulations. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, congratulations on all the success so far. Good luck with the record moving forward. I'm sure you'll be fine.
Thank you, man.
Can you please send Ross my love?
I will. I'll give a big snog for you. Don't worry. I'm not going to do that.
Socially distant snog, like. Just wiggling your tongue at somebody. Anyway, thank you super. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Cheers, boss. Thank you.
Nice one, guys. Take care of yourselves, yeah? You're listening
to Sammy Bogus! Yeah! Awesome. Absolutely love it. Thank you so much for Mark taking time out to have a chat with us two idiots. It was great. Lovely to see him. He's a wonderful human. Lonely the Brave is such a good band, and I'm very excited for this new album, Mel.
Yes, and I really, really enjoyed the fact that when we mentioned a friend of ours from the Patreon group, he knew exactly who we were talking about as well.
Yeah.
So big shout out for James Oakley there. Thank you very much for being part of the Patreon, and thanks to all the Patreons. Morg, we're going rogue. We're doing the Patreon bit now. It's too late now. Thank you very much to everybody who's already part of the Patreon. If you've enjoyed any of the other 109 episodes, Jesus Christ, and you will, and oh God, you will, because we have definitely spoken to somebody you love. Get in touch and get support in the boys now at patreon.com/sapnin, where every penny goes into keeping us alive / making this podcast real tidy.
And as you heard in this episode, you never know what you're going to get from being a member of the Patreon. You might get talked about with your favourite bands on an episode. How exciting is that? But quickly, as we've mentioned James Oakley as well, I did want to give a shout out, because he's such a big Lonely the Brave fan that he's actually part of this Facebook community group that their fans have started doing for the band to promote Lonely the Brave's new album. So if you head over to Lonely the Brave fan community on Facebook, you can get involved with that as well and help the band sell more records, basically. Get it out there. It's going to be absolutely awesome. The Hope List available January 22nd worldwide.
What? Bands have got communities where people want to do stuff for them and share their stuff.
Mad, isn't it?
Oh, I wish I could be in a band like that one day.
Anyway,
as we said, thanks to Mark. Thanks to Lonely the Brave. I hope they're all well and they've had a fantastic festive period. And they enjoyed my birthday as much as I did. And yes. Sorry, just talking.
But I'm excited to see how well Jack fits into the live setting when the tour's going to eventually happen again. And he would be a great guest to have on the podcast at some point. Grumblebee is a project I very much enjoyed back in the day as well, so I'm sure he'd have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, so get in touch with us. Come on the bloody podcast, innit? It'd be a laugh, huh?
Yeah. And if you want to get in touch with us, you know by now, we don't need to say it again. We say it all the bloody time, but we're going to
anyway.
Don't
say it then. Don't say it then. Don't say it.
Because
we're not saying it. No, fuck it. We're not saying it.
But there's people.
Do you know what? No, this is. Listen. Listen now. They've listened to the intro.
Yeah.
We've mentioned it on the intro, yeah. Right? So they know, right? If you are now listening to this, right, and you're thinking, oh, I would like to get in touch with the boys, but I don't know how to get in touch with them on social media, do you know what? Fuck them. Fuck them. We said it earlier. We say it every week. If this is your first time listening, thank you very much. That's amazing. Thank you. I love you. You're probably a Lonely the Brave fan. Awesome. Welcome to the Sapnin family, right? You are now part of it. But if you can't work out how to find us on social media by now, fuck it. Don't.
That's, that is fair. That's a really good point. It's just weird because I know there is loads of people who listen to this who don't actually follow our social accounts, and it does help.
Absolute shitheads. Like, yeah, oh yeah, they could help us. This is the thing. They could help us, right, by supporting us at patreon.com/sapnin, right?
Mm.
That's what all the cool badasses do, right?
Yeah.
But what I find is the very minimal you could do, right, to support or help us, right? If you've listened to a fucking 30 seconds of this and enjoyed it, right? You owe us at least a follow on Twitter and Instagram. And I'm not fucking saying the name again because you know what it is. So go, if you don't follow us, do us all a favour. Swallow your pride. Give us a follow for Christ's sake. And give us likes and shares, please. It literally doesn't cost you a single penny to do those things. So fucking do it.
That's brilliant. Fair play, Sean. I'm glad you went on that rant.
I've spat all over my computer screen here doing that. Then. It looks like it's raining indoors.
Wow. That's how passionate you are about this podcast, Sean. This is how
I don't know if I can wipe the screen now without ruining this podcast. Bastards. Like, these selfish, not following us shitheads. Oh, here we go. Am I doing it? Oh, we're all right. We're all right. We're all right, Hey. I think. If you can hear this, we're all right. Oh, I lost. Oh. It's New Year. New Year, new me, man.
Is it?
Apparently, new me is fucking bonkers.
You've said you've got to keep this up every episode now. You've got to beat this.
I'm tired of it already. Is there any way we can just do like another New Year one for next year and then just.
But speaking of New Year, Sean, I know I asked you in the intro about your resolutions and thing for the podcast, but I didn't ask you about your band Raiders. What's the plans for 2021 with you and the gang?
Well, as this is January 1st, I believe the last of merch we have in stock is up for sale now at potentially discounted prices. I don't know, but I'm not sure. Yeah, so check out Raiders Band uk.bandcamp.com where you can check out the four songs we've previously released and the merchandise. If not, on digital streaming platforms, search Raiders UK. Raiders with a gap between it, space, then UK, where our four songs are on there. Please check it out. We need all the listens we can get. And yeah, and that's it really. Like, we're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place because we don't know whether to sort a tour. Because we don't know if touring's a thing that exists anymore. But obviously it's going to be much harder now in Europe as well. Thanks. Thanks your tears. For nothing positive back. So yeah, check out Raiders Band. Is it at Raiders Band or is it at Raiders Band UK?
It's at Raiders Band UK.
Thank you very much, Dad.
Yes. I'm looking forward to seeing whatever happens with the band this year. Hopefully get to see you on stage again, because I think that's where you're happiest, Sean, really, is on stage.
I get a self-arm in front of people while they just laugh and go, oh, he's silly. They're like, oh, this is interesting. Look at his it's funny, he's bleeding from his head. And I'm like, I'm going to kill myself on stage. Anyway, yeah, come and check Raiders out, because you never know, it could be the last show. It's a fucking dark. That went real dark real quick. Well, anyway, it's fucking January the 1st, 2021. I can't believe it. We're living in the future. Any second now, we should have flying cars like the Jetsons.
I think very, very soon we'll be seeing aliens and UFOs more frequently. So get ready.
Okay. Well, while I get ready, Sean, we mentioned Patreon, but if people go to the description of this episode, there's a heap of names of wonderful people that we need to thank, because everyone that's part of it, as we said, are absolutely awesome. But right now, Sean is going to give a mahoosive shout out to the elite members of our Sapling Podcast Patreon community. Those are the people who are in the top tiers. They've probably changed their names to something wacky to mess with us. And we're going to find out right about now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you very much to the amazing Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwawe, Mitch Perry, Emma Barber, Janelle, happy birthday Sean, Kasten, Nathan Croshaw, Kelly Young, happy birthday Sean, Dilly, happy belated birthday to the sexiest human on the planet, Catherine Moenig, oh, and to some fella called Sean apparently, Sarah, happy birthday Scott Jones, the true Patreon Jesus, James, Paul Hirschfield, thank you very much, Liam Connolly, Scooby Drew Styles, Kelly Owen, Michael Engler, Kat Besant, Amadine Urbano, Laura Mar Sanchez, aka The Lobster, Tony Michael, Amy Campion, Johnny Phillips, happy birthday Sean, drinks for you when we're eventually allowed out, thank you very much Scott, Bert, Simon Amos, Jodie Shannon, Ollie, happy belated birthday to that guy with a fringe who stood next to beautiful blue eyes for a few years, Amesbury, Kate Stevenson, Danny Sober, New Year's Eve in the pool, Eaton, Jenny Sexy Boy Munster, Lucy Diaz, Becky Handy, Martina McManus, Emily Senegals, Kelly, happy belated birthday, Sir Sean Connery, Mallory, bastard. Happy birthday, happy birthday, thank you. Not happy birthday, thank you very much to John and Emma, Erin Howard, Jason Heredia, Jenny Robson, Marcy Jacobson, Louis Cook, Sandra Kuacek, Craig, happy late birthday, Sean Harris, Kelly Emma Cannon, Kevin Clark, happy belated birthday, Sean Smith. P.S. If that's really starting to sting, try using Anisol. I don't know what that's for. Livy Cropper, James McNaught, Tallulah Grant, Stuart, happy birthday to my second favourite frontman, Sean Smith. Love you, buddy, McNaught. Who's his first, then? Sharifa Wadali, thank you very much. Lydia Henderson, Dana Dancefloor Darling Lasnova, Nuala Clark, Caroline Robinson, thank you very much for joining. This is your first shout out. You can change your name, but please don't. Julia, I think it's someone's birthday, but it can't have been important. Ravitch, TJ, happy birthday to my favourite Welsh frontman, Ali Jones, and I guess another one with a mullet in Raiders. Josh, happy birthday, Sean. Let's do shots in coolers in 2021. Crisp. If you've ever been to Coolers in Merthyr, you don't need a vaccine, that's a fact. Thank you very much to Adam Parslow. Thank you very much to Alice, struggling to make a funny name, Wood. Keris, the happiest belated birthday to my favourite frontman ever, Lucas Woodland. And I guess you too, Sean Andrews. And last but not least, Jacob, happy birthday to the person with whom life simply wouldn't be the same. Happy birthday, Charles Goodyear Turner.
That was fucking ages.
Sorry about that, guys. That's a fucking 2-hour podcast. I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you very much to all of those guys and anybody who's part of the Patreon. Like Morgan said, check out the description on your phone or on your computer, wherever you fucking check out these podcasts. Also, while you're there, having a look at the description, rate us, subscribe and share as well, please, if you can. It really, really does help, especially rating us. Give us a 5-star, even if you're lying. Come on, it's just gone Christmas, it's just gone my birthday. Try and make 2021 a bit better for us by giving us a 5-star review everywhere, please.
Yes, well said, Sean. Couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks to everyone in our Patreon for making this thing happen. We love you very, very much. Thank you to everyone who's listened to this episode. Thank you to Mark. Thank you to Sean. Happy birthday again, Sean. Happy New Year. Right. Anything else you'd like to mention before we stop recording?
nobody was expecting last week's episode with Dave Hill from Slade.
Fucking no. And, was not.
it went quite well, I thought. So, yeah, that's mad. So, yeah, expect more out-of-the-box chat, especially with people in genres you don't expect us to fucking have friends. Oh, you wait to see what we got fucking coming anyway. Oh, and to find out earlier than anybody else who next week's guest is, again, patreon.com/sapnin. I know I said I wasn't going to mention it again, but fucking it is. Anyway, sapnin. Hey, first of the fucking year done, tidy.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richard. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.